John chapter 4. This is the story about the woman at the well. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, and although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized but his disciples. And when the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And I want to tell you what, Jews in that time did not travel through Samaria. They went around Samaria because Jews and Samaritans at that point in history didn't like each other very well. But here's Jesus, decides to take a shortcut, cuts through Samaria, and he's not avoiding towns. Here he is, right next to this popular well where people come to get water, sitting down. So, in essence, it's sort of like Jesus showing up at Dunkin' Donuts and ordering a coffee, sitting down at a table. You're probably going to end up talking to somebody. A Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, now this is a huge thing because Jews don't talk to Samaritans, men don't talk to women. So here's Jesus in Samaria, strike one, talking to a woman, strike two. The woman is a Samaritan woman, strike three. This is telling you something about Jesus. He's not really so worried about the fact that the Jews and Samaritans don't get along. And he's not concerned about any of those things. He asked the woman, he says, "Will you give me a drink?" Now, I don't know if he was really thirsty or not, because he obviously wanted to engage her in conversation. Verse 9, it says, "The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.'" So Jesus, right off, talks to her about something that is getting her curiosity. Living water. "Sir," she said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I will give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go and call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you have had five husbands, and the man you are now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." Long pause. Verse 19, "Sir, I can see that you're a prophet." All right, let's stop here for a second. Jesus is blowing this lady away. First off, he talks about living water. He talks about never thirsting again. The water is going to spring up within you and spring to eternal life. And now he's told her personal things about her life that there would be no other way he could know these things. Do notice, though, that there's nothing like condemning. He's just laying out the facts. "I can see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is of the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. The woman says, I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want her? Why are you talking to her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And they came out of the town and made their way towards him. Well, this woman did not waste any time in getting out there and talking to other people about what had just happened. She realized that something special had happened, and she didn't want to keep it for herself. Little silly story. There was a time years ago where we used to have this Wednesday night dinner here at church, and we'd have whoever would come, and we used to have big crowds. I mean, we'd have, you know, just under 150 people here on Wednesday nights, all through the community. It was pretty neat. And we used to get all kinds of donations. And I remember one time we got a donation of pies from Publix. And, you know, they were all packaged up, you know, not open. But we had so many pies, there was no way that we could take care of them in here. So I literally drove down, and I went over here in one of these neighborhoods, and I went up, knocked on one of the doors, and I said, hey, I'm the pastor from up here on the hill, and Publix has given me this load of pies. And I don't want to wait till Sunday. Would you like a pie? And the people looked at me like, what? I said, come on out. So I came out the car. There was, I can't remember if I had a van or a car, what in the world I had, but there was a ton of pies. And they saw, they were in the packing material they came in. And they're like, yeah. And they took one. And then they said, could I take two? And I said, yeah, you can take two. And they ran in the house. And then immediately the person says, wait. And they ran back. And they said, I got to tell my neighbor about this. So they ran to the next house and the next house and across the street. And all of a sudden this whole neighborhood is emptying out and the people are coming to get free pies. And all my pies disappeared really quick. And I thought that was kind of neat because that the first guy that I knocked on his door, he did not want to just have the pie for himself. He wanted everybody to be able to get the free pies, the free Publix pies. And he's sort of like the Samaritan woman. She realized that the guy that she had met, Jesus just told her that he's the Messiah. And this is so cool. And one of the things that's so cool about it is there's no Pharisees there. The Pharisees were deeply religious people. In fact, if you would have been a Pharisee and a priest, you would have had the whole Pentateuch, the whole Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy memorized. Megan, could you imagine what it would be like if you had to memorize just Genesis? There's just no way, right? I mean, you could memorize maybe 10, 15 verses, not 50 chapters, but that's just one of the books. What would it take to memorize that much scripture and keep it in mind? You would have to go over it every single day. It would be your job of keeping it memorized. And that's what a lot of them were. They had made a life of keeping it memorized so that they could recite it and talk about it. But the problem is they had lots and lots of content, but that didn't equal having a tender heart towards God. In fact, what we see in Scripture is often that ended with them being prideful and not particularly loving. Here's Jesus among the Samaritans, and there's none of that going on. These people instead are very excited, and they realize what an honor it is to have Jesus there. And the woman's going out door to door telling people about it, And the people are coming out to hear what Jesus has to say. Jesus talks to his disciples about what's going on because they start questioning him. Why are we staying here? Why are you talking to all these people? Jesus says in verse 34, he says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus is telling his disciples, he says, "My food is to help these people. I do not need to leave so that we can go catch lunch someplace. I'm getting to do something that's super important to me. Do not say 4 months, then the harvest." He says, "I tell you, open your eyes and look at the harvest field. They're white, they're ripe unto harvest." And there they were in this town that the Jews would avoid. But in this town, you had people that were hungry for God. Jesus is saying, these people that are truly hungry for God, they are like a harvest field just waiting to be harvested. Verse 36, "Even now the reaper draws his wages, even now the harvest, the crop of eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows, another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." In verse 39, it says, "Many Samaritans believed from that town because of the woman's testimony, who told them, 'He told me everything I ever did.' So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. And Jesus said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man is really the Savior of the world." Now think about how Jesus was received in his hometown. They tried to stone him. Think how Jesus was received down in Jerusalem. He went to the cross for them. And here you have these folks. They hear and they believe, and salvation came to that town. And the salvation that came to that town is just what Jesus talked about. These people received the thing that Jesus promised, this living water. You know, a good little thing you could meditate upon this week is, what did Jesus mean by this living water? Jesus says, "Whoever drinks of this water will never thirst again." So there's something about this connection with Jesus that meets a need that nothing else can meet, but it meets the need in a way that forever changes us, and we don't hunger like that anymore. He says, "Indeed, the water I give him will become like a spring of water welling up to eternal life." My grandmother, behind her house, they had a spring. And it had a little shed built over the top of it. And it was a place in the ground that, for whatever reason, water was coming up out of the ground. And they literally had just taken a pipe and run it up to it, and it ran down to the house. That's how they got water at their house. And I remember my grandfather taking me up there, and I was like, "Where's the water coming from, Grampy?" He goes, "It's coming from down in the ground." And I said, and he'd say, "You want to taste some?" And we'd scoop some up, and we'd put it in our hand. It was cold, and it was delicious, and it was wonderful. And Jesus is saying he's got something to give that is going to be like a spring within us. And you think about it, a spring, the water is never stagnant because it's always flowing. It's not just sitting there. It's always fresh. And you guys have been to the springs here in Florida. The fun thing about the springs is you can go canoeing or tubing. Why? Because the water's got to go someplace. It doesn't just sit there. It flows out of the spring. And what he gives us is something that doesn't just stay in us. It flows out. We become different so that we bless people around us. We bless our workplace. We bless our family. We bless our friends because we got a spring within us, and it's got to go somewhere. Now, I don't know about you, but when I feel the presence of the Lord welling up within me, you know what I feel like doing? I feel like praising. I feel like loving people. I feel like giving things to other people. I feel like praying for people. If I see or know of anybody that has a need, I just feel like, let's change the schedule. I want to do something. Why? Because I got something driving me on the inside because Jesus is coming up and taking residence, and I got a spring of water welling up within me. Amen? Am I getting too crazy on you? Well, the woman at the well, she couldn't help herself, and she just needed to tell other people. And that's the way it's got to be for us. You know, there are people in your world that you're the only one that's going to be able to touch them. When I was growing up, one of my next-door neighbors, his name was Gary Hibbard. And to the best of my knowledge, Gary Hibbard only went to church one time in his life. And it was with me. And we were both 10. We used to play baseball all summer long, every day. We used to play basketball every single day, all fall and the winter. We would shovel off the basketball court and play basketball every day. Sometimes other kids would join us. We'd always play. And I remember one time he asked me where I went on Sundays. And I told him I went to church. And then he'd say, well, what do you do at church? And I would say, I didn't even know what to say. Oh, church stuff. Well, what's church stuff? Oh, we would sing. Okay. And they would preach. Okay. Preach about what? Well, the Bible. What's the Bible? I wished he would go to my church and talk to my pastor because my pastor knew how to answer those questions, and I was only 10. But Gary wanted to know about God and what we believed, and my pastor wasn't there. And sometimes after playing a while, he'd sit and he'd want to pepper me with questions, and then his mom and dad started asking me questions. And I remember I'd go home and I'd ask my mom, I'm like, what am I supposed to say? And she'd go, well, just do your best, honey. And they came to church one day. And I wished that somebody else would have invited them. And I wish they had somebody better to talk to than me. But I'm the one that God chose. And there are people in your life that they aren't going to go to church anywhere. And you're it. And I just want to tell you what, if you've got that well of water springing up within you, you just need to do like that lady did and just tell them what you know. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And now, Heavenly Father, I just pray this week that you would use us. I know, Lord, there's lots of people out there that are sad. We hear stories about suicides, families breaking up. And it's not like these are things happening on the other side of the planet. We got them happening in our own town. Teenage kids who think that life isn't worth living. I guess it hits all ages. I just pray, Lord, that you just put us right where we need to be. And then, Heavenly Father, help us to be bold and loving. Use us to be a blessing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.